My name is Jesse, and I get to lead around here, and it's just a real privilege that you're here today. As we've been going through the summer concert series, we've been using a song from a variety of genres to use as a starting point for us to look into God's Word and kind of take a theme from that song. And so this song came up, and I was so excited to be able to share it. And the reason is I just really identify. I really identify with it. And it ultimately, it's because of this. I am from the boondocks. Like, I literally, really am from the boondocks. And I would just suggest that maybe inside of this room, regardless of where you come from or where you live, the boondocks are somehow in you as well. As a matter of fact, I'm not trying to say that you're a hillbilly or that you're from the swamp or that you're from, the bayou, whatever. Here's what I'm trying to say is this, that the boondocks is really this place that you identify with. It's a place that makes you feel safe. It's a place that brings back those memories that makes you happy. It's the place to which you're familiar. It's the place that makes you feel a sense of freedom. Just take a minute and begin to picture that place for you. Maybe it's the place you grew up in. Maybe it's a place that you found as an adult. Maybe it's the home you're at now. But that place where you could go and say, that is, I'm not ashamed of it, I'm not, but if I could just have any spot that makes me feel right and whole and complete, it's that place. That place can be your boondocks. So for me, when I work on this and I stop and I think about it, and I try to conjure up what that place is, it's not a really hard thing to do. As a matter of fact, it comes pretty readily to me. You see, the place for me, although I have a lot of places that I love to go and be, some of you guys would probably, if you know me, you would think that maybe that place is the beach, and I do love the beach. It's a wonderful spot to go. But really, when it all comes right down to it, when I think about that spot that I just described, it's the place that I grew up in. For me, it's stepping out on my parents' back deck. And as I stand on their little side porch that's not even there any longer, but when I was a kid, it was there. And I stood on their little side porch and the smell of fresh cut hay. It's the feeling of the warm sun on my back as we put in the bales of hay. It's the smell of the barn. It's riding my bike down the cow path to the creek. It's catching grasshoppers to put on a hook to throw in the pond. All of those things are the things that make me feel safe and secure and happy. It's a place that's so familiar, I can go there in my mind just like that. And you have that spot too. Kind of fun, actually, because I'm not the only one that identifies with my place. It happens to be in Athens, Ohio, southeastern Ohio, in the hills. There's actually a lot of people that if you were to ask them where their place is, they would say, I'm from Athens County. That's my place. It's familiar. It's safe. And if you wanted to, you could actually just get a little picture into our world. Almost a fish tank view of what that place looks like for the people that live there. In 3 weeks from right now, if you were to go back to Athens with me, you would get a really good sense, because there's this wonderful phenomenon that will be happening 3 weeks from right now. It's called the County Fair. And oh my, it is special. It is absolutely special, because we love the County Fair. People come out of the woodwork. You get it, right? Because the Great Stoneboro Fair is very similar to the Athens County Fair. Now, we all come, and it's funny because when I was growing up, I was there all week long. Every day I'd be at the fair, and I was in the barns, and I was up on the midway, and I was down at the tractor pull. I was all of it, right? It just all kind of comes really, really readily for me to think about. A few years ago, we had some friends that had come to visit us from out of town, and while they were visiting, we just thought, well, what should we do? I know, let's take them to the fair. And we went to the fair, and it was one of the first times that my kids were with us at the fair. And as we went there, we go in, and it was so funny because you saw this family that was with us, and you saw my kids, and they were like, yikes, there is a whole lot of special going on at that place. I mean, you know it's special because it smells special. I'm just telling you, it is really something, right? And they were looking around, and I'm like, I know, these are my people, right? And I think about it, and I identify with that, and maybe you do too. And the reason I talk about that, and I bring this up, is because for each one of us, we have a spot like that, and we're really drawn to that thing. And the reason I believe that we're drawn to that is because when you look in Scripture, there's this picture that God has created inside of us at our very core, a longing for our home. And that home is heaven. And so that seems to play out on this plane as well as in the eternal. And so today, as I talk to you about this, I guess I'm here to say that I really identify with that song because there's something about saying, I'm not ashamed. I want that thing that I long for, that place that I long for. And as believers today, we can say that place is heaven. It's right placed inside of us. And this is the thing. We all have it. Every single one of us, it's placed inside of you. That longing for heaven, that longing for home. It's kind of a Boondocks moment, really, when you stop and think about it. You see, we're not all that different. Even though if I took you back to my people, you might go, ooh, they're different. And if you take me to your people and I come to your family reunion, we might go, ooh, they're different. But when it's all said and done, some of you guys are like, my family is real different, right? No, I get it. When it's all said and done, this is what we have to remember. We're all just people. We're just people. All of us. It doesn't matter how special your place is. It doesn't matter how special the group that you identify with. It doesn't matter how tall you are, how short you are, how dark-skinned you are, how light-skinned you are. None of that matters. What your hair color is, whether you have hair or not, it doesn't matter. Because when it's all said and done, we're just people. And I was thinking about the way that we're the same. And then I was thinking about the way that were unique. As a matter of fact, on my notes at the top, it's titled, Uniquely the Same. It's a funny phrase, isn't it? Uniquely the same. So what are some of the ways that we're the same? Well, let me just give you three. There's probably more, but I just want to give you three that I know for sure from God's word that we are all the same. We're just people. And the way that we're just people, number one, the way that we're just people, we are people that are created in the image of God. The very, very first book, first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God created us in his own image. All of us. He created you and me all in the same image. Here's the thing. This is the deal. I think we need to do this. Look around you. Look at the people that are closest to you right now. Turn and look at them. Turn, look at them. Come on. Some of you aren't doing this. I'll stand here all day until we do this. So this, you might as well get this out of the way. Okay, look at them. You're looking now. Everyone look. Now stay looking at them. Like, just kind of look. And some of you are like, I'm staring at the back of someone's head. It's okay. I'm telling you to. So just look. And now this is the thing. That was created in the image of God. And somebody is looking at you right now. And as you're looking at someone, here, let's just remind each other, can you? Let's just remind each other. As you look at the person that you're looking at, say to them, you are created in the image of God. Go. Let's try it again. That didn't seem like it had very much passion. Let's try it one more time. You ready? We're going to do this. So say, you are created in the image of God. And his image is spectacular. Tell him. And God clearly has a sense of humor. Tell him. See, we're all created in the image of God. All of us. I had this wonderful, wonderful opportunity this morning. At 6 a.m., I was standing on the stairs of the city building in Sharon with about 40 other people. And we were there called to pray. And we prayed for our country. We prayed for our county. We prayed for our cities. And we prayed. And as I stood there and I prayed, I recognized that there were people that were there with very dark skin. There were people that were there with very light skin. There were people who had gray hair, people who had no hair. There were people of all different races. And I remember this beautiful verse in Scripture that says, he created them in his own image. We're all just people. We're all just people. And there's this terrible, terrible travesty that's happening around our nation and around the world where we have this hard time because we keep drawing lines. And we draw lines because of the way other people look, or because of the way other people live, or because of the way other people believe. But we're all just people in the image of God. Not only are we people that are in the image of God, the other thing that we have to remember that is the same is that we're people that are separated from God by sin. We are all people that have been separated from God by sin. All of us, every one of us. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. You see, Scripture teaches us that we inherited a sin nature. Although God created a perfect world, Adam, the one who was created, chose sin. And with that, that perfect world became broken. Sin enters the world, and we inherited that. So you were born into a sinful world. You were born sinful. Now, we should understand this because I think we've all, I think, have inherited something from our parents that we wish we hadn't. I know for me, and maybe not for you, but for me, I inherited so many wonderful things I'm so thankful for. But there are some things I could probably do without. Like, I mean, for instance, if you go to my grandfather, and then to my father, and then to myself and my brother, there's some things that are the same, and some of them not so bad. One of which is like get out in the sun a little bit, and we tan up pretty quick. Our skin gets pretty dark pretty quickly. It's kind of funny because you know as it happens, I get dark skin, and people all the time, I mean weekly, someone says to me, "Where are you from?" And I'm pretty sure they don't mean southeastern Ohio. And I'm like, "You think I'm Mexican, don't you?" And they're like, "Yeah, I did. I really thought you were, right?" And so I'm not, and they say, but that's tan, that's okay. I could deal with that. You know, the other thing that we inherited, my brother and I and my dad and his dad, we inherited dark hair. Dark hair, like we all have fairly dark hair. I've been hoping for mine to go gray because I think it'll make me look smarter and I could use all the help I can get. So I'm just hoping for a little gray more than it's starting, but it's not there yet. So we inherited dark hair, and that's cool. Like I'm that's okay. Dark hair is good, right? Because now if they don't think I'm from Mexico, they think I'm from Greece. So I'm just really mixed up, and everybody else is very mixed up about me, right? That's okay. That's good. But not only did we inherit dark hair, this is where I'm not so thrilled. We also inherited a lot of dark hair. I mean, a lot of dark hair. As a matter of fact, I used to live in the boondocks. I used to live next to my uncle, and he used to go and he would weed whack the ditches, between our houses out in the country, kept them all weed whacked, and he would do that. And his hair had turned gray, and he would have the dark skin like us, and all of his hair turned gray, and he weed whacked without a shirt on. And so we'd drive by and be like, it's the summer, take off the sweater, right? I mean, come on. He did. I was on vacation a week ago. I posted one picture had my legs in it, and all of you comedians, the only thing you wrote was like, I like the wool socks, right? I mean, because they're so funny. I mean, we inherited this, right? It just is the truth. There are some things that we inherit that we maybe wish weren't like that. One thing that all of us have inherited is a sin nature. So the people that you work with, the people that you live with, the people you go to church with, the people that you haven't met yet, all of us have sinned. And that sin, we know from Scripture, separates us from God. Another thing that makes us all the same is that all people have limited time here on earth, and yet we all have an eternity to spend. Everybody here, everyone, has limited time here, but an eternity to spend. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says, yet God has made everything beautiful in its own time. And this is one of my favorite lines in Scripture, one of my favorite sayings in Scripture. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. He has planted eternity in the human heart. There are some who maybe are here today or listening online, and as they're thinking about this, they've never really stopped to consider, because they think they have a certain number of years on this earth, and your days are numbered here on this earth, the same as mine. I don't know what your number is. Some of us will live short lives, and some of us will live long lives. But the one thing I know, whether your life is short or whether your life is long here, you will have an eternity to spend somewhere. Because God placed eternity in your heart. And as he placed that eternity in your heart, it spans forever. That's what eternity means. Every way, forever. And the thing we need to understand from Scripture is this. The decision that you make, or don't make as it were, in this life, matters in eternity. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying the decisions, like, if you're good enough, maybe you'll spend eternity with God. If you do enough good works, maybe you'll spend eternity. That's not what I'm saying at all. No. That's not what Scripture says. What Scripture says is this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. So the decision you make to allow the Heavenly Father, your Creator, to have control of your heart, mind, soul, all of it, to surrender to Him, will determine whether or not you spend that eternity in heaven with Him or separated for eternity in hell. That's what Scripture teaches. But everyone, every single person in this room, all of us, have an eternity to spend. Now, there are some who are here that are all the same, just people. But there are some who have allowed that longing for home to so control their life that they've taken steps to align themselves, to go back to the spiritual boondocks, if you will, back to that place where they connect with their Creator. And when they make a decision like that, when they choose that, some things about those people who are all the same begin to play out differently. We're uniquely the same. Here's some of the uniqueness now. When we choose that, when we choose to surrender our lives, here's what happens. We choose to be sold out to Christ rather than just acquaintances. So here's the thing. If you want to lean into that longing for heaven, that longing for home, then it comes to this spot where you have to choose to be sold out to Christ, not just an acquaintance with him. Now, today you're here in church, and statistically, it would the reality in this part of the country where we are, the reality is statistically, you've probably seen a church before. You probably had some inkling or idea what was going to happen in church. That's just statistically. Maybe for some of you, maybe this is all new and you've never done this before. And if so, I'm so thrilled that you're here today. Listen, but this is the deal. Like, here you are. You're probably not shocked by this. And some of us, if you ask in this part of the country, what happens at church, there would probably be a response that would say something to the effect of, like, we're gonna connect with the Almighty. And I'm here to suggest to you today that it's so much more than that. And if you've been walking in these doors or any church doors on the weekend so that you can get your God fix, you're living with an acquaintance that is the Almighty. And what I'm here to suggest is that you should be in a place where you could sell out everything, surrender it all to him. Because that's the difference for folks who lean into that longing for heaven. It says in Romans chapter 6, don't you realize that you become a slave to whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Maybe today you're wondering. I've wondered before, but maybe today you're wondering, am I sold out? Have I surrendered everything to God? Well, here's a good way to check. You ever just want a litmus test for your spiritual life? Here's a good way to check. It comes right at the end of chapter 6, verse 16 of Romans. It says, when you choose to obey God, it leads to what kind of living? Righteous living. When you choose to obey God, it leads to righteous living. And just so we're not confused, I want to make sure we're really clear because I feel like there's probably not a lot of people that like got into like the skater culture. But just in case, this isn't like righteous living. This is like holy living. It's like two people laughed. Thank you. I appreciate that. This is the place where we say, I'm going to live in a way that is a reflection of the one who created me. Righteous living. As a matter of fact, the one way that we're the same is that we're created in the image of God. The word image is actually the Hebrew word, is the same word that if you go through the Old Testament, and you look through the Old Testament, you're going to find this word used several times. And most often, the way that it's used is to describe an idol or a statue. And so what it really means is this picture, if you say the image of God, you're creating the image of God, you are not the original, but you're a reflection of. You are a representation of the original. And so if you want to know if you have sold out and surrendered, if you want to know where you kind of stand in that place, you could look and say, am I genuinely a reflection of the God who created me? because folks that lean into that calling for home, they find themselves surrendering all to Christ. And when they surrender all, choosing God, their life becomes a life of holiness. SLW, in case you weren't sure what that stood for, SLW is Sandy Lake Wesleyan Church. Wesleyan is the denomination that we're a part of, and the Wesleyan Church, it's a beautiful holiness denomination. It's a wonderful, wonderful denomination to be a part of. But in the Wesleyan Church, in the tradition, back in the day, the old-time Wesleyans used to use this term. It's not used as much anymore. The heart of it is still there, but it's not used as much. And this is the term. The term was Christian perfection. And you could see why it's probably not used as much anymore, because that just gave some of us hives right there. Like, Christian perfection, like, is that a thing? Like, I could perfect. We don't like to say anything's perfect, right? But this is the heart of it back in the day, is that the heart of it, which still is alive, is that there's a sense that if you could surrender your life to God, that you could actually go a whole day and be sinless. It's going to be like a whole day. Like, I've stacked up 3 minutes and I'm feeling pretty good. Okay, it's okay. Listen. No. This is the thing. Once you've surrendered your life to God, what if as you're being transformed, and don't get me wrong, I'm not telling you that perfection is achieved by everyone. What I'm telling you is this: there's no harm in it being the standard to which we were called, because it's certainly the standard for which you were created. Amen, Jesse. That's good preaching. Thank you. And so there's no, like, what if that became our target? And this is the thing. If you were living surrendered and choosing to obey, righteousness would come. And maybe you could go 2 days, maybe 2 whole days, or maybe even 2 weeks, or 2 months, or even 2 years. Who knows? When you're surrendered, righteous living is what comes from that. If you're here today and you're like, I can't even quite get my brain around that, because I'm not finding righteousness as the descriptor for my life coming very easily out of my mouth, then I would just suggest maybe we have a surrender problem. Another thing that makes us different when we lean into that yearning for heaven is we have different results. Once we've surrendered our life to Christ, we have different results that are being produced in us, the fruits of the Spirit. If you look into Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Pause for a second. Who produces this fruit? Let's try again. Who produces this fruit? It's an open book test. It's right there. Who produces this fruit? The Holy Spirit produces this fruit. And this is the fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we've surrendered our life to Christ, then the Holy Spirit can do a work inside of us that will produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Did you learn the song? Because I did. Now, here's the question. Wouldn't that be amazing? I just love the way those words sound. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. I just love those things. And imagine this, wouldn't that be so cool if that was what was describing and coming out of our life, if that's what was becoming the bounty of our lives? Think about how our marriages would change. There are wives who are sitting in this room right now and like, I like the way that sounds when it's in his life. And there are husbands who are like, boy, I couldn't wait for those things to be the descriptors of her life, because it would change everything. Wouldn't it be cool if that's what our workplaces were completely filled with were people who were producing these things out of their life. And it says that if we are surrendered to Christ, it says right here in Scripture, that if we are surrendered to Christ, if we're leaning into that yearning for heaven, that righteousness would become a thing. And from that, the bounty of our life are those words: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wouldn't our workplaces be different? Wouldn't our towns be different? Wouldn't our neighborhoods be different? Wouldn't our churches be different? If those were the things that were being produced because we were so surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ. When we lean into that yearning, all of a sudden, we begin to see folks through a different lens. We see folks through a faith lens. The people around us, the people in our family, we start to see things the way that God sees them. And this is what it says in Scripture about the way God sees things. Therefore, it says, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given all the glory. I'm sure you don't feel this way about yourself, but I got to tell you, I am a failure. I have screwed up and failed my God so bad. And Jesus looks and he says, I see you as my chosen son. And if he can accept me like that, in spite of my warts and wrinkles, how much more should I be able to see the people around me through that same lens? How much more should I be able to see the neighbor who doesn't mow his yard through the lens who says, I love and accept you. My friend down the street who has a different skin color than me, who says, I love and accept you as a child of God. How the person who sits in the pew beside me, the person who I work beside, who, come on. When we've leaned into that yearning for heaven, righteousness is produced, the fruit of the Spirit becomes the bounty of our lives, and we see people the way that God sees us. When that becomes a reality, everything in your world and my world changes. So the way I want us to end our service today, I'm going to give us an opportunity. I think it would be cool if we could just spend a little time in prayer in front of the Father, doing an inventory of our lives. I'm going to ask the band to come. They're going to play. They're going to lead us in one more song. But before we get to that song, let's just have some time in prayer together. Will you do that with me? Father, you are so good, and we love you so much. God, I stand in front of you today telling you thank you for all that you have done for me, for your amazing, amazing grace. God, I thank you for the men and women who are listening right now, whether they're here or listening online. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just fill the space around each person in such a way that your presence can't be denied. Now, God, will you begin to do the work that only you can do by the power of that Spirit? My friends, with your heads bowed, with your eyes closed, just recognizing that this is a special moment in a holy place. Not worried about the person who is beside you or in the next room. Only concerned with the presence of God speaking to your heart right now. Maybe there in the quietness of your seat, you're hearing the Spirit of God speak. And maybe today, for the first time ever, you've recognized this yearning that's inside of you is a yearning for heaven that was placed there when God placed eternity in your heart. And honestly, you're not sure. You're not sure that your life is a life that exhibits the righteousness that Scripture talks about. And you can't say with honesty that Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are the bounty of your life. You want to be able to see people the way that God has seen you. If that's you today, then maybe what I would suggest in front of God, the best thing to do would be to just say, I surrender it all to you. And let me just walk you through what that looks like. It looks like just a prayer in the quietness of your seat between your heart and God. A prayer that goes something like this: Father, I need you. Please, please come into my life and forgive me for the things that I've done that have kept me from you. God, go to every corner, every dark area, all of it. I surrender completely to you. I want to know what it means to walk in righteousness. I want to know what it means to be described as a person of love and joy and gentleness and self-control. Take my life. Help me to choose you every day. If you make that your prayer here today, God has already done the work and he's wiped the slate clean. He's given you a heart that's white as snow. Take that new life and live it based on the freedom that God has promised you here today. Father, thanks. Thanks for your presence here. God, I just pray for your goodness and your mercy to walk with those folks. And then friends, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, there are others who are in here and you're doing inventory right now. Maybe you've been walking with God, but you feel stale. You feel like you've come to a spot where you're not sure that righteousness is the word you would use. Or maybe as you try to walk in righteousness, you don't see a bounty of love and joy and the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe in this place right now, you would want to just cry out to God. Ask him to take the places that you've withheld. Ask him to put his finger right on those spots in your life that you've been holding back, on those attitudes, on those thought processes, on those hang-ups, on those hurts. Surrender those to him. Father, thank you. Thank you for meeting us in this place. Thank you for doing the work. Now, God, I pray that you will produce those things inside of us as we go out of here in a few minutes, Lord, that as we leave, that we would be able to go not just the same way we came in, but instead leaving in such a way that we genuinely sense your presence in every step. And that we would be known as the people who demonstrate what it looks like to be the hands and feet of Jesus. People that live in power and authority because we are children of the King. Surrendered fully. God, thank you. Thank you for that. God, you are so, so good. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the SLW Community Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this ministry of Sandy Lake Wesleyan Church. For more information about what you've just heard, or to learn more about us, check us out online at www.slwchurch.org.